All right, let's begin with my lecture. My name is Jussi Välimaa. I am a professor in educational studies here in the University of Jyväskylä and director of the Finnish Institute for Educational Research. I will be giving my lecture first, and I would really appreciate if you have any questions regarding my lecture, but please ask your questions after my lecture, just for practical reasons. It's a bit problematic to see if you want to say something during my lecture. My topic today is Finnish higher education. My lecture is very much based on the book I wrote, I published 2019, on the history of Finnish higher education from the Middle Ages to the 21st century. The main concepts that I will be using during this presentation are first higher education, and when I speak about higher education, I mean all activities that are related to or taken care of by universities and other higher education institutions. Higher education institution, that's a concept that is used in the research field of higher education studies. And with higher education institution, we mean any tertiary level institution. So after secondary level educational establishments, all tertiary level institutions, whether they are universities, universities of applied sciences, art academies, music academies, military academies, etc. So all of those belong to this broader category of higher education institution. University, it's a concept that originally comes from Latin, universitas. And it originally it's meant all kind of different kind of different kind of what this is collective entities like guilds or city councils or things like that, but gradually it began to mean universities, and universities are medieval Western European social innovation. When I'm saying this, I'm I'm not trying to say that there would not have been high institutions of higher learning in other civilizations as well. We know that there has been institutions of higher learning both in China, in the Arabic world, in Japan, etc. But when we speak about university, we refer to this entity that was established in Western Europe in the Middle Ages, and during that time there were two dimensions of the university. First was that university has been an organization, so that's how it is, the dimension of corporate entity, and it's also academic community. And this corporate entity means that there have been structures and processes for decision making the officials of the university, and the most important of them traditionally has been a rector or the principal, or as they call nowadays president in the United States, president of university. So this corporate entity has always been part of the idea of university. But in addition to that, it has been universities have always been in the core of the university has been always academic community or academic communities, because all the important functions of university are taken care of by academic communities, and these are teaching, learning, and research. When I say that Western universities originate in the Middle Ages, around 10th, 11th, 12th century, it's a bit difficult to say when the first university was established, because the first university was never established. It developed from previous forms of educational establishment from cathedral schools in Europe. But what is quite interesting is that there has been defined five different cornerstones of medieval universities that still can be recognized in modern universities. And these are the following one. There was a belief that human beings are able for mental and spiritual growth. And this means that there was, from the very beginning of the university, there has been a belief that that students can be educated, students can learn, they can develop as human beings. And from the very beginning of the universities, there has been an idea that there is an ordered universe which is open to rational reason, meaning that with the help of studies and reflections, we can understand the world around us. This might be self-evident from the modern perspective, but I would like to say that it has become self-evident. It wasn't in the Middle Ages. The third one is quite instrumental. There has been belief that man or humankind can master its environment with the help of knowledge and experience. And I think that these are the things that are quite normal assumptions or underlying assumptions in especially in Western culture. But the origin of way of thinking like this goes to the medieval universities. What was also important for the universities to develop was in principle that there has always been in principle openness for new ideas and critique of the existing ideas. So academic communities and university as an institution has defended the idea of being critical to existing ideas. And it has been open for new ideas. Well, it has never been easy to introduce new ideas to universities. It has always very often taken a lot of time and effort and resistance. And it has not always been safe to be critical against existing ideas, especially if you are thinking about political ideas. But universities as organizations have supported the value of critique. And then what is also really important for contemporary universities is the publicity of research and open debates. And by open debates, I refer to the practice that was started in the medieval universities. They had open debate events in European churches or other public spaces, where academics and students debated on given topics. There were different forms of debates. So the idea of this public debate and publicity of research has also been one of the cornerstones of the Western universities. And these ideas are nowadays, I think that these are very widely accepted, and they belong to the idea of the university, they structure the idea of university. So what I have tried to say that there are two aspects in higher education. Higher education is both an institution, a social institution, that can be found in every organized society. And as an institution, there are two functions that characterize this institution. It's the higher learning, it's teaching and learning, development of human beings, and its search for truth. And search for truth leads to research. But the idea behind it is trying to understand better nature, human world, and universe. And then the other dimension aspect of higher education is organization. And when we look at universities as organizations, we see that they can be organized in very many different ways. So in the international or in the global perspective, there is very big variation in institutional forms and also how different systems of higher education function. And the objective of higher education research is to make sense of these variations, to understand why universities and systems of higher education function as they do. Okay, so this was more like an introduction to higher education field and to universities and the medieval origins of universities. I want to start it this way because we belong to the continuum that started in medieval times, and it has been said that together with the Parliament of in the United Kingdom, in the Isle of Man, and the Catholic Church, universities are the only organizations that still function, especially old universities, in the same buildings that they have been working for hundreds of years. In Finland, this is not the case because the first university was established only 1640. But we belong to the same intellectual tradition. My main question for the lecture today is, why Finland has one of the most equal systems of higher education? Well, when I'm saying this, I should have some support for this claim, and here it comes. According to OECD, Finland, together with South Korea, have the strongest social mobility among OECD countries, and this is measured with the help of odds ratio. as you can see in the in the table. And the odds ratio for 20 to 34 year old Finns with having one of the parents having a high education degree, this probability to have a high education degree is only 1.4 times greater to get access to higher education compared to those students whose parents do not hold a higher education degree. So this figure tells, when we look at the numbers, it tells how probable it is for every Finnish citizen to get access to higher education, whether they have a higher their parents have a higher education degree, or whether their parents do not have a higher education degree. The higher the odds ratio, like in Poland and in Italy, this means that that it's very much more probable to go to study in a university if your father or mother has a higher education degree. In Finland, this is not the case, or it's very moderate in the global comparison.
I'm sorry, but the students cannot see your presentation at the moment. You have to share the presentation by pushing share screen at the bottom of the page.
With this figure, and I'm thank you, Elisa. Now others can see it as well. Sorry about this. So as I was just saying, this figure tells about the social mobility and equal access to higher education. The smaller the number, like in South Korea and Finland, the more equal the system of higher education, the more there is more equal education opportunities for higher education when the odds ratio is lower. And according to OECD, Finland and Poland are those countries. Finland and Korea are those countries, as compared to countries that are above Finland and Korea. Yes. So my main question is why Finland has one of the most equal systems in the world, it's quite typical in history and social studies that there is no single answer, but there are many interrelated processes. And I will go through these interrelated processes. I will start by taking a historical and take a look at the historical and cultural traditions, reflect on education and higher education in shaping Finnish society. I will discuss sociocultural context of Finnish education and higher education, and then discuss higher education and its role in the knowledge society. So, historical and cultural traditions. Finland is, the geopolitical context of Finland is that it has been between two strong nations historically, the Russian nation in the east and the Swedish nation in the west. And during the Middle Ages, from the 12th century to the Napoleonic War, Finland was one of the three core areas of Sweden. it was eastern provinces in eastern provinces, and it was defined as Grand Duchy of Finland. What was important for the future of Finland was that with the connection of being part of the Swedish kingdom, Finland was connected to the Western cultural sphere. And in the medieval times, this meant Catholic Church, because it was the universal organization in the medieval universe. It was the only universal organization in the medieval Europe. And to be able to be part of that universal organization, Finnish students needed to study in European universities. The first universities were sent to the University of Paris in the 13th century. And later on, they studied later in the University of Prague, Charles University in Prague, during the 14th, 15th century, and especially in the University of Wittenberg in Germany during the 16th century. So this is how Finland was connected to the Western cultural sphere. They became part of the Western culture, Western European culture. At that time, there was also vocational training, but vocational training was taken care of by guilds, trade guilds. And the main difference between high education and guild vocational training was that high education university studies were open, and the knowledge was openly published. It was made public. Whereas in the vocational training, the aim was to get familiar with the secrets of the trade, of the vocation. So, for example, how to become a smith or shoemaker, etc. One of the tradition consequences of the fact that Finland was connected to the Swedish kingdom was that in Finland we have a Western juridical tradition that is the basis for societal life. And this means that in Finland it's very strong belief in the way of thinking that law is above everybody, including the ruler or the president or the king. And we should be following the rules and regulations. The Finnish situation changed also from the perspective of high education very strongly during the Napoleonic wars in the beginning of 19th century. Finland was made as an autonomous Grand Duchy as part of the Russian Empire. And this meant that all the institutions established during the Swedish rule were continued. There was a university. The first university was established 1640, as I said, as a royal academy in Åbo. That university became Imperial Alexander University to honor the conqueror of Finland, Emperor Alexander the First. It also meant that Swedish laws and juridical system and legislation remained. It was not changed. It also meant that Lutheran Church was continuing to be the church in Finland, whereas the rest of the Russian Empire was Orthodox belief. And the system of education also was not continued as it had been. So this meant that Finnish authorities had the total control over all institutions of society, while Finland was part of the Russian Empire. And this was very important for the future development of Finland as a nation. During the Swedish rule, Finland was a geographical concept. But during the 19th century, it became a political concept, meaning that it developed all the state offices and departments that were needed for an independent state. From the perspective of the university, it was important that the training of civil servants, the monopoly for training civil servants was given to the Imperial Alexander University. Finland also was able to have own currency and central bank, which helped the development of national economies. Actually, it could be said that it was precondition for the development of national economies, because then the Finns had more influence on how to develop their own economy. These are the main trends in the higher education in the 19th century. The Imperial Alexander University was rooted in the Humboldtian ideas, and these were revolutionary ideas in Europe in that time. It emphasized institutional autonomy. This meant that the university decided all the internal matters, taking students, nominating professors. There was freedom of study and teaching. This meant that the Russian authorities or Finnish authorities actually had no power in deciding what was studied and taught and research in the university. And this was related to the academic freedom of professors. And when I say academic freedom of professors, it's not an uncontested concept and practice. Russian authorities and Finnish authorities were really interested in what is happening in the university, because university was educating the civil servants for the Grand Duchy and also for the Russian Empire. But with the help of academic freedom and institutional autonomy, university had power to decide on the internal matters. For the development of Finland as Finns as a nation, it was really the role of the university was crucial. Because a Finnish version of nationalism was developed by university professors and pretty much implemented by students. And these Finnish nationalists were called as phenomans or phenomaniac, as their Swedish-speaking opponents called them. And the aim of the phenomans was to educate the nation and also to nationalize the education. Nationalization of educating meant that in that time Finland, the official language in Finland was still Swedish, and the Swedish-speaking elite was actually leading Finland. So by nationalizing the educated, they aimed to change the way of thinking of the Swedish speakers. University of Imperial Alexander University also was a cradle for Finnish language and cultural studies. So it developed the consortiums of Finnish nation as a nation. And all these led to the understanding of university as a national cultural institution. And this kind of national cultural institution, it was a very strong idea. And we have well, at least to the 1950s, 1960s, and we still have the same way of thinking as part of our definition of higher education. We see that higher education and research done in universities is really important for the great future of the Finnish nation. During the 19th century, there also were debates on the need to develop practical and useful fields. And by these, I mean forestry and agriculture, technical education, commercial education, and teacher training. Forestry and agriculture actually was integrated in the Imperial Alexander University as a faculty. And with a faculty, I mean an organization. So it's like a school in US universities. Technical education was gradually developed, and it was established as a technical university in the first decades of the 20th century, and the same case was with commercial education. So it developed into higher education institution during the first two decades of the 20th century. And teacher training, I will take a look a bit on the teacher education. The first teacher training education was established in Jyväskylä actually 300 meters from the building where I'm having this presentation. This university was established as a teacher training seminar, and it gradually developed in the university. The need for teacher training seminars was due to the fact that they were established first folk schools in 1870s, and this created the need for teacher education. At that time, teacher training was the only possibility for female students to have further education, to become a teacher. And it was also the only possibility for male students, especially from rural areas, to have a further education. So the seminar students, they were mainly sons of farmers and upper middle social class women. The role of teacher education was really important in the implementation of the Finnish nationalism. And it was made a bit easier because especially the male students coming from villages from all over the Finland, they went back to their villages, and it was easier for them to integrate to the local communities. But not necessarily for the female teachers, because at that time, women were not equal to men in Finnish society, like in no European society. And then my next point is about the education and higher education shaping society. Finland got its independence in the last days of 1917, when the First World War was raging in Europe. Immediately after the independence that was given by Soviet Union, there broke up a very bloody civil war with whites against reds. And this civil war really tore the Finnish society apart. The civil war was won by the white troops, And when the new republic, when the first parliament of the new republic gathered, there was a definition that the failure of education was one of the main reasons why they broke up the civil war. So that the system of education had failed to educate proper Finnish, proper citizens for Finland. So education was seen as a tool for national integration, and there was established a Compulsory Education Act in 1921. Which expanded, which led to the situation where folk schools were established all over the country. The access to folk schools was more than 80% during the 1930s. And also this led to the increase of gymnasiums or high schools or the upper secondary education. And this led to the increased access to higher education. However, the system of education was an elite system, meaning that the university studies were expensive. They were practically available for the upper socioeconomic group students, and the University of Helsinki, which was the former Imperial Alexander University. Practically in every Finnish government during the 1920s and 1930s, either the prime minister or a great number of ministers were professors and academics from the University of Helsinki. So the elite of the society was really tightly connected with the University of Helsinki. In addition to students from upper socioeconomic groups of society, there were also students from peasant families, about one-sixth, and from working class families, about one-sixth, and about one-third of the whole population of university students, one-third were female students. These figures can be interpreted in a way that higher education was highly respected in Finnish society already during the 1920s and 1930s. And this high respect of higher education still continues in Finnish society, as I will discuss a bit later. So this the appreciation of higher education and seeing the importance of higher education for the building of the nation has long roots in Finland. During the first two decades of the 20th century, there were also established two universities in Turku. University of Åbo, which was Swedish-speaking, and University of Turku, which was Finnish-speaking. And it tells something about the language division in Finnish society that these two universities that are located in the same town of Turku, and there are about 1 kilometer away, they had nothing to do with each other. They had no cooperation, nothing. Because the other one of them was for Swedish speakers and the other one for Finnish speakers. There were also established two business schools in Helsinki and one in Turku. So when we look at the higher education shaping modern society during the White Republic, between the world wars, university continued its function to build Finnish national identity. It was elite higher education. There was a high social status of universities and the selection of students to universities was quite strong. After the Second World War, there was a rapid expansion of higher education, especially during the 1960s. And this rapid expansion of higher education in the 1960s was very closely related to the building of Nordic welfare society in Finland. The main goals for the Nordic welfare society was to create a fair and equal society. And higher education and education were defined as main instruments in reaching this goal. And in the same time, higher education, equal access to equal educational opportunities to higher education were defined as a political goal in itself. These changes in Finnish society were related to the fact that the structure of Finnish society changed rapidly after the Second World War. Here we see the structure of employment by sectors in Finland from 1816 to 2015. And you can see that the bluish part of the table means primary production, forestry and agriculture. It has reduced significantly from the 1940s. During the same time when the primary production went down, industry increased and service sector in Finnish society grew stronger. Construction has been quite often at the same level. So these changes in the structure of Finnish society mean that from a population point of view, people moved from countryside to cities. During the 1970s, this change was so rapid that the Finnish industrial service sector could not adapt all the people leaving countryside. So something like 400,000 Finns moved to Sweden to work in the factories of Saab and Volvo and other sectors. Finns are still the biggest minority group in Sweden. So change of the structure of society and the change of economic was really rapid in Finland from 1950s to 2000s. And when there was this rapid change in society, it also was seen in the politics and in the goal of making a welfare society. As I said, that education was seen both as an instrument in making an equal society, but equal education opportunities were defined as an end in itself. The reforms taking place during the 1960s, one of the most important reform was the reform comprehensive schools. And this is important because it changed the dynamics of the system of education. And here you can see two pictures of the Finnish system of education. In the left-hand side, you see the structure before, in the beginning of 1960s. And on the right-hand side, you see the contemporary system of education in Finland. If you look at the arrows from basic education, here it says Kansa and Kansa Kansalaiskoulu. From basic education, you can see that there is this arrow from basic education to upper secondary education and to you leading to universities, yliopisto. So this arrow, if you follow this academic track, you could study in universities. However, if you followed a vocational track, which is this one here, ammatilliskoulut, ammatillistopistot, there was no way you could continue your studies in higher education. So there were quite strong educational dead ends for those who did not go to this upper secondary education focused on general education. Whereas in the education system that we have today, there is basic education that is offered to every Finnish citizen between ages 7 to 16, and actually next year it will be 7 to 18. And again, when you follow the arrows, you can see that there are no dead ends. No matter whether you take general upper secondary education or vocational upper secondary education, you can continue whether to University of Applied Sciences, Polytechnics, or to universities, and you can change your educational orientation during your lifetime. The basic principle in this modern system of education is lifelong learning and equal education opportunities. Whereas in the left-hand side, structure of education actually originates in estate-based society, where the higher education was meant only for certain smallest part of the population, the higher socioeconomic group, children from higher socioeconomic groups, whereas the others just go vocational and professional education. So this is an illustration of the system. And what also happened during the 1970s and 1980s was that we used to have a centralized curriculum, textbook inspections, school inspections, teacher licenses. Whereas from 1990s, we have a national core curriculum in our schools, meaning that schools have a freedom to interpret and implement how they teach this national core curriculum. There can be, and there are, municipality specific curriculum and also school specific curriculum. So these interpretations are made at the local level. This means that there is a lot of autonomy for schools and pedagogical autonomy for teachers. Quality control of the Finnish system of education is not taken care of by school inspections, but there are a number of assessments of learning outcomes in Finland. And I think that one of the most famous one is PISA studies, Program for International Student Assessment. This is just for your information. I will not go into the details. What happened during the 1960s was also a very rapid expansion of higher education. Here you have the numbers of higher education students in Finnish higher education. Blue ones describe university students, and yellow describe universities of applied sciences students. And you can see that by the beginning of 1950s, there was more than 20,000 students in Finnish universities. Well, 1950s, yeah, more, less than 20,000 students in Finnish higher education institutions. Whereas in the 2010s, 60 years later, there were 170,000 students in universities and about 140,000 students in universities of applied sciences, meaning that there was more than 300,000 students in Finnish higher education in total. The expansion of higher education also meant that there were established universities, which are these yellow dots. Universities are established all over the country. And universities of applied sciences are equally established all over the country. When you look at these university campuses and universities of applied sciences campuses located all over the country, it tells something about, as a value statement, my interpretation is that it tells something about the belief in the blessings of higher education in Finland and for Finland. Because otherwise, Finnish society would not have invested all these vast sums of money to build these universities and universities of applied sciences. And I also should say that the Finnish education is free education. It's free for all Finns, for all Finnish citizens and students coming from the European higher education area. Yes. And Finnish education is also free of charge, so it's all paid by the taxpayers' money. I will come to that a bit later. So nowadays we have 13 public universities. There are two different forms how to run a university. It's either an independent legal entity, or it's run by a foundation. And in addition to that, we have a National Defense College, which is a hybrid organization between universities of applied sciences and universities, in a sense that there are they do both research and give vocational training of military officers. Then we have 24 publicly funded universities of applied sciences. 22 of them are under Ministry of Education and Culture. One of them is Åland's Yrkeshögskola. It's the Åland Islands, and they have autonomy. So that's why they have their own higher education institution. And then Police College, which is under the Ministry of Interiors. In addition to that, we have 6 university centers, and these university centers are hybrid organizations where there are both universities and universities of applied sciences present in the same campus. These university centers are located in the areas where there is no university close to the region. So they kind of compensate the lack of university. There are both teaching and research functions in these university centers. In Finland today, starting place in higher education is offered to more than 80% of the age cohort of the relevant age cohort, meaning 18 to 20 years of students, and about 66% of them are studying. This means that there is a mass higher education system in Finland. It has been from the 1970s, meaning that the Finnish system of higher education produces experts for the labor market. It's no longer an elite system of higher education. Finnish higher education is funded 95% by public funds. 64% of the funding of higher education comes from the Ministry of Education and Culture budget, and 36% comes from other public sources. Only maximum of 5% of the funding comes from Finnish or international companies. As I said, there are no tuition fees. And one of the main reasons for that is that, the main reason is that education and higher education in Finland is defined as a public service. It's not defined as a product that can be bought by a customer. It's a public service to Finnish citizens and European citizens. And in Finland, students are defined as young adults who are independent of their parents. And for that reason, there is quite extensive state support of students, either in direct money from the government to cover your accommodation costs and living costs. And also there is a state guaranteed loan. And if you study, if you earn your master's degree in a target time, then this state guaranteed loan will be paid by the state. So this is an incentive to finish your studies in a targeted time, which is normally 5 years for MA student for master's degree. The steering of the system is in the hands of Ministry of Education and Culture. So each university makes a performance agreement with the Ministry of Culture, and Ministry of Culture has these negotiations with each higher education institution once a year. The development of Finnish higher education is supported by Finnish Education Evaluation Center. And what is important in the Finnish idea of evaluation is that the aim is not to create league tables or ranking lists, but to support the development of higher education institutions. So it's enhancement-led evaluation, as they call it. So then something about the sociocultural context of Finnish education and higher education. As I have emphasized quite many times during this lecture, is the fact that universities have a high status in Finnish society. There are two perspectives to that. Higher education degrees are still appreciated in Finnish society, and they also are economically beneficial. So when you have a higher education degree, you will get a better job and better paid job. This trend has weakened during the last decades because so many of the Finnish young adults have a higher education degree. The other perspective is that universities are still defined national cultural institutions, which are very important for the nation and the national economy nowadays. The University of Helsinki has played a particularly prominent role in the cultural, political, and economic processes that created the basis for the independent nation state. And especially from the 1990s onwards, there has been a recognized importance of higher education for welfare state and knowledge society and knowledge economy, meaning that the research and innovations produced by universities have been supported, have been integrated to national economy and have been really highly appreciated in the society. One of the cornerstones in Finnish society is equality. And equality and equity. And you can see this in Finnish street life. There are no manifested class differences. So the social aspect of aspect of equality can be seen in the Finnish streets. Politically, equality has and equity have been accepted by all Finnish parties nowadays. Economically, equality is seen in the social support policies and the progressive taxation. So the aim of the Finnish social policies is to level down differences in incomes. And from an educational point of view, comprehensive schools and this mass higher education are based on the idea of equal educational opportunities and high quality education for all citizens. In Finland, we don't have rankings or institutional stratifications between schools or between higher education institutions. So, unlike in many other countries in the world, in Finland we don't have a national league table of the leading universities, of good universities or bad universities. And what is also typical to Finland and like in other other Nordic countries is that in the Nordic part of the globe, nation state is seen as the regulator of the system of education and also the funder of the system, the main funder of the system. And this is combined with the idea of institutional autonomy. So here we see no contradiction in seeing universities as autonomous institutions that are regulated and funded by the state. One of the cornerstones in Finnish society is also trust. There is a generalized trust in Finnish society, meaning that that Finns trust in the institutions of society and also Finns trust in our fellow citizens. In higher education policy, this means that there is a continuity in higher education policies. So when our government changes or when the Minister of Education changes, it does not mean that the system is radically changed. There may be a small fine-tuning, but no big changes. There is also a national monitoring system in Finland, where you have publicly available sources of information on students, academics, degrees, funding of universities. And also, what is one of the consequences of trust in society and in higher education is that our evaluation, assessment and audit is aiming for enhancement, not for league tables. And when I said that Finns trust in institutions of society, here is a science barometer that is repeated every 3 years. This is the last one. And the most trusted institutions in Finnish society are police, defense forces, meaning army, and the third one is universities and higher education establishments, followed by judicial system, courts of justice, science and research, scientific community, and technical research centers of Finland, and universities of applied sciences and Finnish Academy. So you can see that I think that this describes something about the Finnish society. Our most trusted institutions are police, army, and universities. And I think that this table illustrates that higher education is highly trusted, as has a high status in Finnish society. The least trusted institutions are political parties. So now on discussion on the conclusions. One of the challenges for every system of education is how to combine high quality with universal access to higher education. So how to combine high quality with mass higher education system. The normal story in the world is that when there is a universal access to higher education, meaning that half of the population, half of the young people go to universities. Normal story is that there is a very strong institutional hierarchy, institutional stratification, meaning that there are a couple of good universities, a bigger number of middle-level universities, and the biggest number of low-level universities. And for some reason, people from or girls and boys from lower socioeconomic group go and study in the lowest level higher education institutions, and the upper levels of society go and study in the elite institutions. Nordic regions and especially Finland is an exception to the rule, because there is no institutional stratification between or inside Finnish higher education. And it's also in the Finnish context and Nordic context, it's seen natural that we have this state steering or state interventions in higher education. And together with higher education being as autonomous institutions. In Finland, academic freedom of academics is guaranteed both in Finnish constitution and in Finnish universities. When I say universities are autonomous, this means procedural autonomy, meaning universities can decide on the internal matters. They have power to decide on how they do things in the university, but it's the nation state that defines the goals for higher education. So universities do not, or they are not, they cannot decide their goals or their national goals. For example, if university wants to start, engineering education, it needs to have permission from the state. It cannot just declare that we establish faculty of engineering, students, you're welcome. No, that's not how the way it goes. It must be agreed on with the Minister of Education. But once the permission to start an engineering school is permitted by the Minister of Education, so then it's up to the university how to organize it, how to do it, how to hire academics, how to get students. And I'm using this example because this year, University of Jyväskylä got this permission to start engineering education in our university. And it was a result of the negotiations with the Minister of Education that started in the 1990s. Quite a bit of time, I'd say. Then when I say that higher education degrees are appreciated in Finland, this is in Finnish, but this describes the employment rate of people having different degrees. The lowest one is the second lowest one is higher education, korkeakoulut, and these are different years. And the first one is no education after comprehensive school. So you can see that the difference between higher education and no education is something like 20% in unemployment rate. So in Finland, the best guarantee against unemployment is higher education. And Finnish citizens know this. Here between the basic education is the intermediate decreased, meaning vocational schools, electricians, plumbers, etc. I also said that Finland has one of the most equal systems of the world. And this is from the European Student Barometer. This describes the proportion of the different socioeconomic groups and how they are represented in higher education. So the blue one is the highest socioeconomic group. Then the red one is the low socioeconomic groups. And the green one is their share in the population. So in Finland, there is a 1.4 overrepresentation of the highest socioeconomic groups compared to their share in the whole population. And there is about 0.95 representation of lower socioeconomic groups in relation to population. This means that there is underrepresentation of low socioeconomic groups in higher education. When you look at this, compare these figures with Netherlands, you see that Netherlands is a bit better than Finland in this table. But especially if you look at the system in Germany or France, you can see the difference between Finland. And I would like to interpret these figures as an example of the influence of educational policies. In Finland, the educational policies from 1960s has emphasized the principle of equal educational opportunities. I'll interpret German figures. However, when we look at the access to higher education, the access to universities, we can see that there is still students with parents having a higher education degree, meaning this look at from the odds ratio. There is a 6.8 greater probability to get access to higher education if your mother or father has a higher education degree, compared to those whose parents do not hold a higher education degree. However, when we look at the access to access to universities of applied sciences, there is no difference according to whether your parents have a higher education degree or not. So this is why the Finnish total number 1.4 is so low, is because the sector of the universities of applied sciences is very equal. Universities, Finnish universities, are more selective. So then something about the lessons learned. I'd like to emphasize that in Finland, when there are implemented reforms in education or in higher education, the normal way of implementing a reform is first to start with an experiment, which is supported by follow-up study. And after this experiment has lasted a couple of years, the follow-up study tells what is happening really in this experiment. And after a couple of years, normally this reform is implemented in the whole system, so it becomes a structural reform. But during this process of implementation, with the help of follow-up study, the reform is fine-tuned so that it becomes more easy for those who resist the reform to start supporting it. So it helps to redefine the goals of the reform during its implementation. And this kind of gradual reform strategy is quite typical to Finland. And one of the reasons is that in Finland we have coalition governments, meaning that we don't have a political system where there are two main parties or two main political blocks, left and right. We have many smallish parties. And in coalition governments, each of these parties have to make compromises. It also means that all Finnish parties can be and have been in the Finnish governments. So all the parties are used to making compromises. And this this way of ability to make compromises is maybe one of the strengths of Finnish society. Here again, the education system of Finland in 2020. Guiding principles are first equal education opportunities. It's still a very strong principle in Finland. It's followed. And the other strong guiding principle is lifelong learning. The aim of the Finnish system of education is to create opportunities for every citizen to get access to education, to further education, to higher education at every stage of their life. Finnish education system is also free of charge for all citizens and citizens of the European education area. There is institutional autonomy both in the schools, in the comprehensive schools, in vocational schools, and in higher education. There is academic freedom in universities, and professional autonomy is very appreciated in Finnish society in general. This means also that teachers in schools have large professional autonomy in deciding how they teach, what kind of pedagogical approaches they use, and so forth. And as I said quite many times, there are no rankings in the Finnish system of education, no league tables, and there are no dead ends in the Finnish system of education and higher education. Thank you. I would appreciate if you have questions, comments, critique. I know that this is a pretty heavy load of information for one lecture. I wanted to locate the Finnish higher education in its social and historical context, because education is part of society, and what happens in society influences education. And also the principle of equal education opportunities and trust develops over time. So they have longer developmental parts behind them. And I do think that it's quite difficult to understand why they are such strong principles and societal values if we don't understand how they develop. So if you have any questions, doubts, critique, please. Elisa, are you already here?
Yes, I am. I am switching off the